Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith here. Greg Pickle will be joining me in just a few minutes. Steve Wilfong, National Recruiting Director for 24/7 Sports, is on the phone right now. He and I will discuss Penn State's 2018 recruiting class. We'll also preview Super Bowl 52 coming up later in the show. Greg Pickle will take your Penn State football and recruiting questions, and we will close out this edition with a little update on Penn State basketball, winners of two straight, Ohio State and Rutgers. First of all, let's get to Steve Wilfong. Steve, how are you?
Gentlemen, doing well. How you doing?
Good. It's always good to have you back. It's been a little while, but I felt like with National Signing Day, the second National Signing Day on the horizon, I wanted to get your take on some of the components of Penn State's class, which now ranks number four in the 24/7 Sports National Rankings. Before we get into maybe breaking down some of the guys who have signed or are committed, I wanted to get your take on Rasheed Walker, maybe the top Penn State target left on its board, the four-star offensive tackle for Maryland. You had a crystal ball pick put in for Ohio State back in October. Are you sticking with that pick?
As of right now, but obviously I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up at Penn State. It's a two-team battle, and both programs have done a phenomenal job of making Rasheed Walker feel important, and he knows that he could really succeed within both programs. And I really think that these in-homes, last week he took that official to Ohio State, so the in-homes with Penn State and Ohio State last week, and then this week the head coaches will be in there, Urban Meyer and James Franklin will both going home with Rasheed Walker, and I really think that those in-homes could be the difference as that recruiting battle, at least from my vantage point, looks like a game of inches right now.
A game of inches. And with that game of inches, how significant or insignificant is it to get the final home visit as opposed to the second to last home visit?
You know, I'm really not sure. Again, I think Rasheed and his family will digest what Coach Meyer and Coach Franklin, and those guys won't be alone when they go in home, digest what each staff has to say. And then it'll just be who do they feel more comfortable with. I really think Rasheed believes that he could go to Penn State or Ohio State, compete at a high level and start at either school and help either school compete for championships. So I think that it's going to come down to his comfort level with the staff.
I know this remains hypothetical until we get resolution there, but how good should Penn State fans feel if they were to manage to get both Rasheed Walker and Nana Asidu in the same class, two big athletic offensive tackles?
Well, I think that Rasheed is a guarantee to be a great player on the college level. He's our number two or three ranked offensive tackle in the country. 24/7 Sports, I know we did some maneuvering, so I apologize. We have a number three. He's our number three offensive tackle in the country. We have him ranked in the top 50 at 47 overall, so we love him. And think that at the U.S. Army All-America Bowl, he was the most athletic offensive tackle at the event. And so we're really high on Rasheed, and I don't see any way he's not an impact guy at either Ohio State or Penn State. Nana Asidu, his ceiling is high, so if it comes together for him, you think that you have a future NFL player, but he's a little raw compared to Rasheed. But he's a young man that has a bright future and certainly has all the traits you covet when you go out and recruit a young man at that position.
Let me just ask you some of the components of Penn State's class as it stands right now. I think numbers-wise, it's my position that the defensive line, especially, you know, you can even just throw Micah Parsons out of that conversation just for a second, but looking at guys like P.J. Mustipher and Jason Oweh, how good can these guys be, especially Jason Oweh, who, just like you mentioned with Nana Asidu, the ceiling is certainly there, but some things still have to come together.
Well, when you look at the combination of P.J. Mustipher and Jason Oweh, that's as good a combo of a D-tackle and D-end you'll find in the country. That duo go toe-to-toe. P.J. Mustipher has the wrestling background, so he's just going to play with great leverage and toughness at the point of attack. And Jason Oweh is one of the most athletic players in the country, regardless of position. He has the traits to become one of the best pass rushers in the country at Penn State. And then you look at the other guys, Judge Culpepper. He's got NFL DNA coursing through his veins. He's another twitchy kid on the interior that plays on both sides of the ball down there at the powerhouse Tampa plant. And then Aeneas Hawkins is another with NFL bloodlines who's going to come in weight room strong and tough out of Cincinnati Moeller. And I want to go back to Nana Asidu. He knows that he needs a redshirt year at Penn State. We talked about that at the U.S. Army All-America Bowl. But we really like him, and you look at his 24/7 Sports composite ranking. He's the number 8 offensive tackle in the country. So if it comes together for him, you get Rasheed Walk and you get Nana to answer your first question. That has a chance to be a special offensive tackle group.
Yeah, and I think it's something that Penn State has largely gone without for James Franklin's first few years, where they've bumped guys to tackle. It's intriguing to think of, even if it's just one of those guys, getting a true offensive tackle with the athleticism to match is a big deal. You mentioned Aeneas Hawkins and Judge Culpepper. How difficult can guys like that be to try and grade? Because you see the ability, you also see some growth that maybe needs to happen. Both are in the 260-pound range.
Well, I'd be surprised if Judge Culpepper is not an impact guy at Penn State. Again, I think that he'll eventually get up to 290 easy, and then you really like having Sean Spencer as your defensive line coach. He's become one of the country's best, or really has emerged as one of the country's best during his time at Penn State, of developing guys and getting them ready to go. So I think that Judge Culpepper is a safe bet to be an impact guy at Penn State. We just can't rank them all 4 stars, you know?
Yeah, right. And we were having that conversation. Some guys who might need to make a little bit more of a transition, I think, are a little bit more likely to maybe fall out of that 4-star conversation. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We're talking to Steve Wilfong from 24/7 Sports about Penn State's 2018 recruiting class. And I wanted to get your thoughts and your take on Micah Parsons, because I think there are some people out there who are in the Penn State community who aren't quite sure what to make of him as a kid. You see the public recruitment, you see the interest going from school to school, and a kid who really seemed to enjoy everything about the recruiting process, had the decommitment and recommitment. I think there's some people out there who might not be sure how good or how stable or how good of a kid he might be. How fair or unfair might that be, just looking at just a fraction of the information out there, which is his recruiting process?
Well, I am sure he's a great football player. He's arguably the best high school football prospect in the country. When you look at his combination of size and just ferocity he plays with, that combination is special. I mean, he's a violent football player. When he took snaps at the U.S. Army All-America Bowl, he took dominant reps. And so he's also a terrific athlete. I've seen him in the camp setting play receiver and be a tough matchup out there in one-on-one. So he's, you know, going to bring 4.5, 4.6 speed to Penn State's front seven, and they're going to start him off at middle linebacker, and we'll see if he has the instincts to play the position, because I think he has the skill set, and he's going to be a guy. I mean, I think Penn State's got a lot of potential pass rushers in their program: Sharif Miller, Shane Simmons, Shaka Toney, Yetur Matos, and then you throw in a guy like Micah Parsons here blitzing from the linebacker spot, and they're going to get home a lot next year.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting, the timing of it all, because he signs late December. There's talk, because Penn State has a void at middle linebacker, about him maybe filling in that position since he's enrolled in January. And then he goes down to the U.S. Army All-America Bowl, and he is dominant as a pure pass rusher, and just has people thinking, is middle linebacker the best starting point for him? And you mentioned it earlier, the number of positions he played at camps and stuff. I think he can handle it. What do you think about the dynamic of him just having all those pure pass rush tools and starting out at middle linebacker?
Well, I think Mike linebacker's a need and defensive end isn't. I mean, again, Sharif Miller, Ryan Buchholz, Shane Simmons, Shaka Toney, Yetur Matos, you're good. And then you're bringing in Jason Owe, who theoretically could give you something on pass rushing downs in year one if you don't want to redshirt him, and like you did with Shane Simmons. Micah in the middle, I like it. If he can instinctually play it.
Yeah, and I think we'll find that out. It's going to be interesting. Enrolling in January is a big help there, but that's a position that usually requires some experience and full knowledge of everything you're trying to do.
You'll have Koa Farmer out there, and you'll have a veteran secondary at the corner position, you have Lamont Wade, you're bringing back John Reed. Tariq Castro Fields made an impact this year. Obviously, it hurts losing those safeties, but I mean, Mike is going to make some mistakes, I'm sure, but he's also going to make some game-changing plays in the middle of the defense, if I had to predict. And then your offense should be a well-oiled machine and score enough points to win you ball games. But this, I mean, Penn State should really be one of the best teams in the country at getting after the quarterback next year.
Yeah, I think what you saw, some growing pains, is young guys that you mentioned, Simmons, Matos, and Shaka Toney, taking some lumps a little bit. You saw it at the end of the year start to come together. Looking at Penn State's offensive players in this class, I've asked you this question, I think, a couple years in a row now. One guy that plays an offensive position that you think might be a little underrated, flying under the radar a little bit too much, a sleeper if you want to put a name on it.
Well, when you have the nation's number four recruiting class, there's not too many sleepers in there. I'm familiar with all these guys. I don't know if there's a sleeper in the group. I mean, Will Levis is the most athletic quarterback in the country when you look at his Nike football rating. So maybe him. But quarterback's such a between-the-ears position. I do think that Penn State really needed to hit at the quarterback position in this class, because I'm not completely sold on the guys that they have behind McSorley. I mean, obviously, I love Steven, but Clifford and the kid from New York, jury's still out for me. I'm not saying they won't be great players. They could ultimately both end up being great. But Will Levis, I think, was an important get for them in this class, and we'll see what happens with him. Charlie Katzler is a 6'3", 210-pound outside linebacker from Cumberland Valley there in Pennsylvania that I don't maybe know enough about him as some of the others in the class. So maybe he's a guy that we're sleeping on at 24/7 Sports, but for the most part, we love this class from top to bottom.
Got about 30 seconds or so. I just want your take on the early signing period from, you know, your talks with recruits or coaches, or just your idea of it as an analyst, how successful it's been.
I think it's great for college football programs to get their guys signed December 15th, and then they can put all their resources into the remaining targets instead of having to recruit their commits and stay on top of their commits down the stretch just in case someone tries to come and flip them. You got to maintain those relationships a couple more months, where now James Franklin and Penn State don't need to put any time or energy into Ricky Slade. Not saying they would have had to anyway, just using him as an example. Now they can, you know, put all their resources into getting ahead in the 2019 class if they only have a couple targets left in 18. It was a little bit of a rough date, for schools preparing for it, conference championship games and major bowl games like Penn State was. But for the kid, I still like the one signing day, one date where all the information was on the table and there was no pressure to sign early. But early signing period was a win for the college programs, and it was a win for 24/7 Sports and people like us that, you know, we got that spike in interest around the early signing period that we're getting right now leading up to the final signing period.
There you go. Steve Wilfong from 24/7 Sports, National Recruiting Director there. Thanks for your time, Steve. We are moving on here. We're going to look at the Super Bowl, take a look, and do a preview of that game. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.